Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to see all of you and to be back and to be recovered. I had my personal bout of COVID last week, and I'm so grateful to everyone who stepped in to help me so that I could just stay home and recover. Huge thanks to Mary Annabelle for her leadership. And to Sarah, and also to Michael Rowe for his wonderful reflection. So, it's really good to be together, and it's good to be back as we're coming from all the different places that we may have been over the summer, and with whatever we all have going on this fall. This is a really just important place to be in our week and in our lives. This is our opportunity to gather as community and to center ourselves again. And so, I'm grateful that you all are here. We are a hub supporting human flourishing here at Rosedale United Church, and so I just have some announcements from the life and work of this community. First, related to the congregation and to the church here at Rosedale United, next Saturday is a really important day in the country of Canada, but it's also a really important day and event for us here at the church. It is the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And in honor of this and to recognize this, we have been planning a water walk with an Indigenous elder, and followed by a feast. The water walk will take place very close to here, down at the Evergreen Brickworks, starting at 4 p.m. And if any of you are sitting here wondering, well, you know, what is a water walk? I have no idea what you're talking about. What is involved? Basically, it is like a ritual and ceremony where we will be led around the ponds of the brickworks, and while we do so, we will carry some of the water from those ponds in a copper bucket. And as we go, Marilyn Capriol, who is our Indigenous elder that we're working with, will impart teaching around the sacredness of water to life. Marilyn is a knowledge keeper around water, and so she will impart her wisdom for us and with us. So that is the water walk portion, and then we all come back here to Rosedale United, where we will have an Indigenous feast. It's catered by a wonderful Indigenous caterer called T. and Bannock. And all of this, I should say, is totally free. You just need to sign up so that we know what our numbers are. And I really encourage you to do so. You can do this online or by talking to me. But it will be a wonderful event. And if you actually want to get out and be in person on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation with Indigenous elders and really be modeling this and living this in your own life, then this is the event for you. And it's totally appropriate for kids and grandkids as well. Okay, so that is the water walk and feast. The other thing I just want to plug is a new program that I've started called Mindful Mornings. It's on Wednesday mornings. It's just 20 minutes to half hour of quiet meditation here in the sanctuary or online, because it does take place at 7:15 a.m. If you're not up and about then, but you want to join in, you can email me for the link and I'll give it to you. You might be wondering, why the heck would anyone get up and come here at 7:15 on a Wednesday morning and just sit in silence and, you know, meditate? And I mean, really, I am starting this for myself because I'm recognizing within me a need in a really challenging world and in difficult times to just set aside space for stillness and to be together with people and to focus on parts of our world and people within our world that need healing. To me, I leave those sessions feeling better and feeling more centered and feeling like I can handle this world that we're living in. And so it feels important to me. So I just, you know, if you're curious about this and you want to come out and sit with me, I really encourage you to do so. I'm just going to keep being here Wednesday mornings, 7:15. Okay, so that's kind of from the church side of our announcements. Hub, Rosedale Hub. Bunch of programs I want to encourage you to investigate. You saw as you came in on that welcome table some flyers. We've got our Gordon Lightfoot concert coming up. This is in partnership with Hughes Room. It's on October 21st. 8 p.m. We encourage you today, take some of the pamphlets, flyers with you, share them with your neighbors, people on your street. We are fast reaching capacity on this event, so we do encourage you, get your tickets today, spread the word, it's going to be incredible. The lineup is like, wow, it's unbelievable. It's going to be a great Hub event. All right. Another program I want to just plug is called Creative Expression, and this is just a once a month art group Thursday mornings here, and it's about an hour. You don't have to be an artist, by the way, to be a part of this, but it's just like an hour where you come and you can create something, and again, it's meditative, it's positive, it helps you to feel good, and that's what the Hub is all about, right? Okay. I want to call on Wendy. Yeah.
Thanks, Kristen, and good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Wendy Dryden. I'm the clerk of session. In more modern language, it's called chair of the board for our church's operating board. I'm here this morning on behalf of Brian Lawson, the chair of our trustees and our board, to say a few thank yous. I hope that most of you read the announcement and are keeping in touch on Friday that the manse at 6 Whitney Avenue is going to be sold. The ink is dry on the final offer, and that will come to fruition at the end of October. But I'm here this morning to say thank you to five specific people. The sale of the manse has been a many-year journey. We start in 2019 with a thank you to Kristen and her family, because when Kristen became our lead minister, she chose not to move into the manse. And it was in her decision not to move into the manse, it allowed us to move forward with selling it and putting the assets to work for the long-term efforts of our church, congregation, and community. So thank you first to Kristen, because without her decision, we couldn't make this ball start rolling. The next person I want to thank is Bill Deacon. He was part of the group who helped to make the sale happen, but the first step along the way was evaluating all of the work that needed to be done to the church property so that we could sever the property and the manse and the sanctuary property. And that took quite some time. And that was thanks to Bill Deacon, who's the chair of our property committee. Unfortunately, he's not here today, but I hope that you will, when you see him, say thank you for his early work on this journey. And then we come to this spring, when we finally had the severance approval from the city, and we were able to put the sale process in motion. There are four people I want to thank. Kat at Peterson Stockton, who was one of the greeters here this morning, and Fabien Formanon, who are both new board members. Doug Doug Greaves, who isn't here this morning, representative of our trustees, and Bill Deacon, who formed the negotiating team. Now, Kat's work, Kat and Fabienne's work on this began when they prepared the RFP to select the real estate agents to represent us. And then through the process of making the arrangements with the agent, preparing the house, and then working through and negotiating with the offers. I want to thank Doug Greaves especially, who isn't here this morning because he's not well, and because he has been very involved in the final days of us crossing the T's and dotting the I's on the final offer negotiation. And Bill Deacon was also a member of that group. So those are the five people who made the announcement on Friday possible. Kristen, because she let the process begin. Bill, because he did the work that allowed us to get to the point where we were able to sell. And the group of people who actually made this a reality. So on behalf of the board and the board of trustees, and hopefully a very grateful congregation, we say thank you to these people for their service to Rosedale and the work of our church.
Thanks, Wendy. If this is your first Sunday with us, just know that after the service, we gather for coffee, tea, conversation, right through those doors there. You know, let us know who you are. Let's chat. If you're ever here with kids, grandkids, the area at the back is open for them. This is the kind of place where you can stand up, move around, meet kids' needs. It's all good. And we do have a nursery and Sunday school. Emma is back there today, and she's about to take the kids downstairs shortly. I think that's it for our announcements. There were a lot of announcements today. All right. So I want to acknowledge that we gather on this sacred land. It has been the site of human activity for 15,000 years, and that this land is the territory of the Huron Wendat and the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River, and that this territory was the subject of the Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, an agreement between the Haudenosaunee Confederacy and the Confederacy of the Ojibwe and Allied Nations to peaceably share and care for the resources around the Great Lakes. Rosedale United is an affirming congregation. We are proud to be a community made up of people of all ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. And today, as we begin our worship service, I also want to acknowledge the beautiful flowers that grace our sanctuary today. And these flowers are from Jane, Paul, and Christopher Ricketts, and they are in loving memory of Mark and John Ricketts. And so throughout our service today, we lift up the Ricketts family and we'll hold them in our love and in our prayers. I want to invite you all to stand. And let's join together in our call to worship. Loving God, you call us to faithfulness, not to perfection. Persistent God, you continue to issue the invitation, come home, you are my beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen. We start with singing from Voices United. Jesus calls us, and we're singing verses 1, 4, and 5. Friends, I invite you to turn and just to greet those who are around you this morning. We say, peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you. And I especially want to encourage you, if there's someone you haven't met yet, go up and say hi and introduce yourself. All right. I also just want to say, because our announcements were so long, I forgot to do this. Joining with me in leadership today is our full music team back. So Dr. Sarah Svensson, our music director, and among you, you will hear today our choir. You're welcome to join if you like to sing. And also back today, you've been hearing our junior organ scholar, Cadence. Just organ scholar, yes. It's awesome. So welcome back, Cadence. It's really good to see you. And of course, Cadence's mom, Rachel. It's nice to have everyone reunited. Sarah, do you think we need to introduce this again, the blessing our learning? Yeah. Okay, so we're introducing a new verse here for our time of blessing our learning. So we just have worked with it for 1 week. So Sarah's going to play it for you so that you're hearing it. So listen once, and then we'll sing it. Or two times, yeah.
Thank you.
also an invitation to silence now as we've settled in to this sanctuary, as we've started to shed some of what we may have come in with, as we've started to connect to community here and connect to spirit in and around us. We'll move into some silence, and then we'll hear the choir sing our refrain, which will invite us into a time of opening and gathering prayer. Let us pray. By joining in this worship, gracious God, we are making a choice to be a part of your transforming love in this world. We are offering ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, to the mending and tending of your world. We are opening ourselves to be changed by your compassion, working in and through us so that all may experience the love you sent in Jesus. We commit to you, loving God, that we will share your love unconditionally, without judgment, freely, without price. Bless us in this time, Holy Trinity, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, as we seek to be a blessing for all the earth. We pray all of this in the name of your Jesus, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our theme today focuses on a powerful force, the power of two little words in our lives. And those words are, what if, dot, dot, dot. What if? So in this moment, I want to invite you to go in your own mind. This is just for you personally. You're not going to be sharing with anybody or turning to your neighbor. But in your own heart, I want you to ask yourself, what if? And to imagine where those dot, dot, dots might lead you. Maybe a question will come to you. What if I dot, dot, dot? Maybe a person or a place might come to you. What if I went and saw dot, dot, dot? I don't know. But I invite you into asking yourself, what if? Sarah's going to play, and we reflect, we ponder. As Janet comes forward with our first reading, some context about the story that you're going to hear. This is from the book of Exodus. And to set the scene, this may be a familiar story for you. It may not. It may be a totally new story for you. So for many hundreds and hundreds of years, the people of Israel, the ancient Hebrew people, had been enslaved in the land of Egypt. They'd kind of wound up there accidentally by a fluke of family and also natural disaster, a drought in their own home territory. Anyway, Egypt, many, many generations. And then Moses, long story with Moses, but anyway, he becomes their leader into freedom. He leads them out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea by a miraculous event where it opens and lets them through and then closes again so that the Egyptians can't follow them. All is fantastic and amazing. They're on their way to the Promised Land, and then it doesn't go as they expect. They meet all kinds of difficulties. They are stuck wandering in the wilderness. They don't know if they have the food and nourishment and resources to get to where they want to be. And that's where Janet picks up with our story today.
A reading from Exodus chapter 16. The whole company of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron there in the wilderness. The Israelites said, "Why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt, where we had lamb stew and all the bread we could eat? You've brought us out into this wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel." God said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you. The people will go out and gather each day's ration. I'm going to test them to see if they'll live according to my teaching or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they have gathered, it will turn out to be twice as much as their daily ration." Moses and Aaron told the people of Israel, "This evening you will know that it is God who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of God. Yes, he's listened to your complaints against him. You haven't been complaining against us, you know, but against God." Moses said, "Since it will be God who gives you meat for your meal in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, It's God who will have listened to your complaints against him. Who are we in all this? You haven't been complaining to us. You've been complaining to God. Moses instructed Aaron, "Tell the whole company of Israel, come near to God. He has heard your complaints." When Aaron gave out the instructions to the whole company of Israel, they turned to face the wilderness. And there it was, the glory of God visible in the cloud. God spoke to Moses, "I've listened to the complaints of the Israelites. Now tell them, at dusk you will eat meat, and at dawn you will eat your fill of bread. And you will realize that I am God, your God." That evening, quail flew in and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew all over the camp. When the layer of dew had lifted, there on the wilderness ground was a fine, flaky something, fine as frost on the ground. The Israelites took one look and said to one another, "Manu, what is it?" They had no idea what it was. So Moses told them, "It is the bread God has given you to eat, and these are God's instructions. Gather enough for each person, about 2 quarts per person. Gather enough for everyone in your tent." The people of Israel went to work and started gathering, some more, some less. But when they measured out what they had gathered, those who gathered more had no extra, and those who gathered less weren't short. Each person had gathered as much as was needed. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks, Janet. We're going to sing again in response, Bring Many Names. I invite you just to stay seated. We're cozy now. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Caring God, we thank you for your gifts in creation, for the what ifs that you rain upon our world, for beauty, for resources, for heritage, for community. We pray today for those who make decisions about the resources of the earth, that they too may ask themselves, what if? That we may use your gifts responsibly. We pray for all who work on land and sea, in city and industry, that all may enjoy the fruits of their labors and marvel at your creation. We lift up all those who help us to ask ourselves, what if? And we pray for artists and scientists and visionaries, that through their work we may see creation afresh. We thank you for giving us life and for all who enrich the experience of our lives. We pray for all who, through their own or others' actions, are deprived of fullness of life. We pray for those who are imprisoned. We pray for refugees, for those differently able, for all who are sick, and for those in politics and medical science and social and relief work, and for your church, for all who seek to bring life to others. You have called us to celebrate your creation. Give us reverence for life in your world. Thank you for your redeeming love, for all the what if questions you plant within our head and heart. Bring us new life where we need it. Renew us, strengthen us, and give us courage. Amen. And we're invited into a time of response. You may be here this morning with a person who is on your heart, who you want to continue to hold in prayer, or a place that you're thinking of. You may be here this morning with prayers for yourself or your family, for health and wholeness and renewal, help in answering your own what ifs. And so you are invited in this time to respond, if you want, by acknowledging that through lighting a candle. And you can do so right up front here or on the side. You may feel moved to share an offering for the life and work of this church, and the box to do so is at the back. And you can also just respond in this time by just sitting in silence. That's okay too. It's all good. But first I'll invite us all to say together the response that's in our bulletin. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. Thank you, choir. It's so good to hear you and to see you again. It's really awesome. I'm so glad that a new season of choir has started. I'm just going to ask us to pray again together. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the reflections of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Take and make something of them. Amen. So if you had to name the most powerful force in our world, what would you say? When you hear the words powerful force, what automatically comes to mind? Do you think of external elements? Fire, water, earth, air? Or do you think of forces that are internal? Lust, violence, greed? When you hear the words powerful force, does your mind automatically think of something negative? Or when you hear the words powerful force, does something positive and productive come to mind? I've been thinking about this question this week. What would I name as the most powerful force in the world? And I realized that when I think about powerful forces, I don't think about external elements or internal appetites. I'm more likely to have encountered what I would call a powerful force in a production like The Lion King or in the movie Barbie. I can still remember when I went to see The Lion King on Broadway. This was more than 20 years ago, and I went to New York with one of my best girlfriends, and we got rush tickets, and it was the production that was directed by Julie Taymor, who also designed all the costumes. Some of you may have seen that version of The Lion King. Julie Taymor had conceived of all these characters as human puppet hybrids, and the actors manipulated animal masks with their very human faces still visible. And I remember the house lights went down, and we heard that startling lone voice that starts The Lion King cry out, and all of a sudden, from within the audience and all around us, the actor animals emerged and formed this great procession and took their places up on the stage. And I remember being glad that the theater was dark and hoping my friend couldn't see me, because I was actually crying when this musical started. It was just so fantastical and so fanciful that it sparked this powerful force within me. The same thing happened this summer when we went to see the movie Barbie. How many of you have seen Barbie? Yeah, it's really good. Go rent it or see it. At one point, my son leaned over. "Mom, are you crying?" he said. Well, how could I not be? We'd reached the point in the narrative where Barbie was in the process of making a wrenching personal decision. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything for you. But it was more than just that. This completely fantastical and fanciful film had sparked a powerful force in me. A powerful force that in that moment had me dreaming about what it means to be human and the purpose of our existence. And I was crying because a human had written all this, and I'd gotten all of this and had all these incredible thoughts from a movie about a Barbie doll. That brought me to tears. When I think about what I would name as one of the most powerful forces in the world, I don't think about what is towering or overpowering or brutish. When I think about what is most powerful, I think about the fantastic, and I think about the fanciful, and I think about the beautiful. I think about that which sparks imagination. The stories from the Bible, the ancient Hebrew and Greek testaments, are full of what is fantastic. They are full of fancy. And this is why a lot of people these days dismiss stories from ancient scripture, why these texts are scoffed at and mocked. The stories in the Bible ask us to picture in our minds the most fanciful images, an ark cradling all living creatures in a world engulfed in water, a vast sea parting and creating a pathway for a people who were once enslaved to walk safely to freedom. The most fearsome lion curling up and snuggling with a gentle lamb. A savior of the world as a baby laid in an animal feeding trough. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish feeding a crowd of 5,000. And today, this flight of fancy, I'm going to rain bread down from the skies for you, God says to the ancient people of Israel. A lot of people would say this is pure fancy, loaves of bread falling from the sky like rain. On the verge of starvation, the people of Israel, we heard in the story that Janet read to us, discover a magical substance in the wilderness called manna, a fine, flaky something, it said in our scripture reading, fine as frost on the ground. It's totally fantastic. And aren't the fantastic and fanciful just ways of escaping reality, some people might say? What power can possibly come from the fantastic and the fanciful? David Graeber said that the ultimate hidden truth of the world is that it is something that we make and could just as easily unmake. What is sparked within us through our encounters with the fantastic and the fanciful is what I think the most powerful force in the world. The power of our imaginations and our ability to see reality differently. Imagination is powerful because it unleashes in us the ability to ask, what if? The story of manna and quails in the wilderness is a story about unleashing the power of imagination and learning to ask, what if? It's about a people who do not trust that they have what they need to meet the challenges of their living. The ancient people of Israel in the story that we heard don't trust that they have the resources within and without to survive and thrive in a challenging time. The whole company of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Why didn't God let us die in comfort in Egypt, where we had lamb stew and all the bread we could eat? You brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death, they say in the story. The people of Israel didn't write this story down in the moment when they were living it. They recalled it only later, when they needed to encounter a powerful force, when they needed to have perspective on reality, when they needed to be able to ask themselves, what if? The people of Israel wrote this story down. They took it from oral history and made it written history at a time when they found themselves in a new kind of wilderness. In the years after they'd been forcibly uprooted and deported from their promised land into exile, when their territory was invaded by the Babylonians. In a challenging time, in a time of duress, when the people didn't trust that they'd have the nourishment and resources they needed within and without to meet the challenges of their living, the people of Israel told this fantastic and beautiful and delightful and powerful chapter in their history. And it sparked in them that most powerful force, the power of imagination and the ability to ask, what if? We are not on a journey through a desert like the people of Israel, but maybe we can relate to the experience of being stuck in a kind of wilderness. Maybe we can relate to the feeling of living through a challenging time and having to wonder, do we have enough? Do we have the resources within us and around us to rise to this occasion, to meet the challenges of our living? Can we trust that in the morning and in the evening we'll find we have enough within us and around us and all that we need to survive? Do we have the resources to do the work that is ours to do? To find the right words and actions to support children and grandchildren in the way that they need to be supported? To enact the change that is needed from us? Well, imagine the story challenges us. Just imagine. Ask, what if? What if we simply trusted that God rains down bread from heaven for us? What if we trusted that we actually have enough? Enough humility, enough patience, enough resilience, enough conviction, enough compassion, enough strength? What if we trusted that we have within us all that we need? For a long, long time, but most acutely this past year, I've been struggling with performance anxiety and pressure, and I think a lot of you probably know this because I talk about it a lot. And the scariest thing for me in my journey through this personal wilderness has been the fear that I may never find a cure for what ails me, and that pressure will always plague me. But I found as I sat with this story this week, my faith challenged me with a powerful force. Imagine. I've been asking myself, what if? What if I just trusted that I have the resources? That God has rained down bread from heaven for me, like quails and manna in the wilderness. An inner wisdom that says, just chill out and just do what you can do in the time that you have. Maybe that's my manna. Maybe that's my quail. I think the most powerful force in the world is that which sparks our imaginations and empowers each of us to ask, what if? What if will be our spiritual theme for the 2023-2024 season of being church together? We're going to explore this powerful force, our imaginations, gifted to us and bestowed upon us, we believe, in this faith tradition, from the Creator. So every month, on this third Sunday of the month, you'll hear a special guest speaker who will take up this theme of what if and help us to think about how our faith empowers us to see differently, to realize that we make the world that we live in and that we can just as easily unmake it in a way that supports our flourishing. So I'm excited to pursue this theme of what if together and to really, really come to understand as a community that the most powerful force is that which sparks our imagination and empowers us to ask together, what if? So I'm going to invite us to stand now as we respond. We'll sing, O God, Beyond All Praising. Hang on, Sarah, what was that again? One and three. Just one and three, that's what we're going to sing. And the blessing of God, whose love for us is generous beyond the telling of it, but not beyond the knowing. The blessing of Jesus, whose stories lead us on good pathways. And the blessing of the Spirit, who moves within us and around us to turn the world upside down, to spur us to ask, what if? All of these persons go with us as we leave this place of worship. We bless ourselves as we go.